Okay, good afternoon. Just on a starting note, press conference is going to be a little bit quicker today because I need to take a flight to Auckland and to the US, obviously, tonight. So I'm going to try and get out of here by 3 o'clock, if we can. In terms of the US, it's fair to say that trade and economic issues will dominate the visit to the United States. Beside the 2 days in Washington, D.C., I'm taking the opportunity while on the West Coast to meet with Google and Facebook executives from Warner Brothers and New Line, and the mayor of San Francisco, Mr. Ed Lee. From New Zealand's point of view, we want to cement the gains made in terms of the relationship between the two countries over the past few years. We want to take the opportunity to canvass the US economic outlook, both with President Obama and other key individuals such as the Federal Reserve Chair Ben Bernanke and Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. On the trade front, obtaining a high-quality trade deal through a successful outcome of the TPP is very important to us. Momentum with trade talks is vital, and I'll certainly be using the visit to ensure that the impetus that we have on TPP is maintained. I'm also sure that one of the other issues that will be discussed is Afghanistan, and on that note I have some news. As I previously said, where it is in the public interest and where the SAS are involved in events of public note, I will be commenting in a general sense on their operations. However, I continue to point out that I'm not going to go deeply into operational details that may endanger the security of the troops involved or provide information that may compromise their effectiveness. Just after 8 a.m. this morning, I was advised that the New Zealand SAS members were involved in a mentoring role in a developing incident in Kabul involving an insurgent attack in an urban area of the city. At the end of the operation, their involvement moved to an operational role, providing support as required. I'm not going to go into the exact details of that support, but it's been widely reported that Jan Mamahan Khan, an advisor to President Karzai, has been killed along with one other person. I've been advised that the operation has concluded and New Zealand personnel have returned to their base. We understand one Afghan security force member was killed in action during the event, another was seriously injured, and of course our sympathies go out to the families of those police officers. No New Zealanders were injured in the operation. Two insurgents have been confirmed dead as a result of the operation. I'm not able to release any further operational information, so I'm not intending to make any other further comments at this stage. Just in terms of upcoming events, on Wednesday, Social Development Minister Paula Bennett will be releasing an update on Fresh Start Youth Justice Reforms. These reforms were designed to intervene in the lives of the country's most serious repeat young offenders. I announced the Fresh Start reforms in 2009, and we have invested $152 million in this area. This is a particularly tough group to tackle. They have entrenched criminal histories and behavioural issues. I'm not willing to leave them behind, and that's why the government is focused on turning as many of these kids around as we can. The report will give you a sense of how the early stages of these reforms are progressing. Paula Bennett will release it and will be available to talk to you on Wednesday. Another thing I'd like to flag today is Paula Bennett's upcoming release of the Green Paper on Children. As you may be aware, this document is the first stage of a process to shape the country's overarching plan for children in this country. The Green Paper will raise issues and ask for feedback from New Zealanders about how they feel about certain approaches to looking after our kids. Paula Bennett believes the paper will start a debate about how we nurture and care for our children, and she is keen to hear the views of New Zealanders. This is about putting children at the forefront of government policy and actions. We have a special focus on the most vulnerable children. She intends to release the paper on July 27th at a public forum in Auckland. Questions?
With SAS, without going into the operational details, another instance where the mentoring role has become operational. This seems to be happening quite a lot. What are the guidelines essentially where the SAS can cross over? Do they have carte blanche or is there some specific?
Well, for the most part, their role is a mentoring role and assisting the CRU to carry out their operations in Afghanistan. From time to time, the capability that is required is one that really only the New Zealanders have, or at least the time it would take to carry out those duties would be much longer and potentially much riskier without the involvement of the SAS. And it's at that point the operational decision is made to move from mentoring to an operational or enabling mode.
So that's essentially the decision that these soldiers make themselves.
Well, I think the commander of the unit makes that decision on the ground, yes.
Does it seem to you as if there's a bit of a grey area, or it just seems, you know, from how it's quite regular now that we're...
I don't know if I'd describe it as grey. I think what I'd say is that, you know, we're in the worst of the season, if you like, in Afghanistan at the moment, the summer fighting season, where a number of attacks intensifies. Therefore, the New Zealanders are becoming more involved in these events because the CRU, by definition, is more heavily involved. We seem to have a couple of them now in Kabul very recently. And I think, you know, what we can see is the New Zealanders are playing a very valuable role. I mean, certainly the feedback I get from our SAS people is that the CRU are dramatically improving as a force. But, you know, our guys have been in operation and training and in the field since 1955. They've been in operation and training since 2005, so there's quite a difference in capability still.
And in this instance, did the SAS take any casualties? You mentioned they were casualties.
To the best of my knowledge, no, they didn't take any casualties.
The CPI announcement today, how concerning is that for you?
Well, I think you need to see it in the perspective of, firstly, that 5.3% inflation figure includes the increase as a result of the GST tax switch. And so if we take that out, then inflation will be running at about 3.3%, so very slightly above the band. What New Zealand's facing in terms of higher inflation, which is primarily around food, petrol, electricity, that's not unusual. Pretty much most countries in the world are suffering that at the moment. So our view is that the long-term outlook for inflation is one where it comes under control. And if we take out that extraordinary bit, then it's like above the band, but not dreadfully so.
Isn't it a bit worrying, though, that at the start of an economic recovery, inflation is above the top end of the Reserve Bank's band?
Yeah, well, typically, obviously, the band's sort of running at sort of 1 to 3%. Typically, it's always near the top end. That's not unusual over the span of the way the Reserve Bank government manages things. You know, we're in a lot better shape than when we came into office, which was, you know, inflation was running about 5% at the back end of Labor's term in 2008. Interest rates were 10.5%. As they could take out the extraordinary one-off adjustment for the tax switch, then we're running at about 3.3, so a little higher. But as I say, those factors are prevalent everywhere around the world. You get high oil prices, high food prices, number of natural disasters and events which have impacted on food around the world.
But won't it be a concern, though, if, as expected, the economy continues to start to really recover, that'll fuel further price increases?
Yeah, I think it depends a little bit on you know, what drives the inflation. If it was, you know, wage inflation because of capacity constraints, then that's a different factor to, you know, the fact that there's been floods in Queensland, so it's forced up food prices. I mean, look, internationally, you know, there is concern about inflation. You've seen high levels of inflation than people would probably like in China and Russia, other parts of the world. For the most part, I'd say in New Zealand, I think we've broadly got it under control.
On your US visit, I mean, how worried are you by, you know, the possibility of the US government not being able to extend its debt there?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it'll be very interesting to get a first-hand account of that. So, I mean, the trip's going to be fascinating in that regard, not only just seeing President Obama, but obviously Secretary of the Treasury, you know, in terms of Tim Geithner. We're also seeing Ben Bernanke, Federal Reserve Bank Chairman. So we're really seeing the players that are right at the forefront of all this. You know, I think it is a real concern, actually, when you've got Standard & Poor's starting to say they too, along with Moody's, may downgrade the United States. And what it shows you is that countries cannot take a relaxed and casual perspective to the levels of debt that they have. And it's one of the reasons why the government had a zero budget despite having all the costs of the Christchurch earthquake. And we've done everything we can to make sure that debt tops out at under 30% of GDP and we're back into surplus as fast as we can. It's one of the reasons that we flagged the concerns we had about Labor's tax plan that they announced last week, that we think the numbers leave a big hole in the accounts. We think that would be worrying the rating agencies.
Well, given that particular problem, do you think it's going to overshadow and crowd out discussions you'd like to have around TPP?
No, I don't think so. I mean, in reality, it'll be an interesting time to be in the United States, and obviously the President's going to be very busy with these issues. But We're talking about a meeting which lasts for an hour. I'm sure he's capable of focusing on that as well as all these other big issues he faces.
Just looking at the SAE's story,
yep.
Prime Minister, I mean, this comes at a significant juncture in the war, really, in that Justin Barnier, obviously, the transition's gone ahead. But here we have the Afghan forces in Kabul seemingly not able to handle the last two major operations that have come along without our help. Is there any chance that that will stay on past what you've said?
Well, I don't think that's likely in terms of them staying beyond the end of March 2012. I mean, we haven't made that decision yet, but I don't think that's likely. It's not our intention. And I don't think what's happened today changes that in any way. As I say, for the most part, my understanding is that CRU handled the bulk of the operation, but there was a factor which required backup from the Kiwis, and they got involved at that point.
What do you mean you haven't made a decision on that yet?
Well, my expectations are they come home at the end of March.
In terms of the transition in Bamiyan, where does that leave the chain of command for New Zealand troops there?
Yeah, well, we still have our own responsibility, but what it means is that, as I understand it, that control of the province, if you like, is now passed back to Afghan control. Now, what it also means is over time, New Zealand is going to have to, will play, I think, a different role in Bamiyan at the moment. The majority of our people there are military people, and I suspect over time, as we fully transition out beyond 2014, we'll be in a position where there'll be different personnel involved.
But will New Zealand troops be answering to Afghan commanders in terms of being told where to go? Or?
No, I don't believe so.
What are you going to say to Bernanke when you meet him? Are you going to express concerns that a third round of quantitative easing would hurt New Zealand's...
Well, certainly pointing out that rising New Zealand-US exchange rate is hurting our export sector, and we have real concerns about the level of our current exchange rate. But I guess it'll be our opportunity to get a sense of what he is thinking happens next. And last week he's made a couple of comments which are slightly contradictory, so we can see how that goes.
Prime Minister, you said you're going to meet with Facebook and Google executives on your way over. Is that about them building data centres here? What's the content of those discussions?
A couple of things. I mean, firstly, you're just interested in what they're doing. And these are two very, very large technology companies. They're obviously big players in New Zealand, so it'd be interesting to have a discussion with them about that. Equally, you'd flesh out whether there are opportunities. I mean, both of them operate in New Zealand, and Google has the largest sales force here in New Zealand. It's bigger operations in Australia, with about 500 people. But it'd be interesting to see what ambitions they might hold for New Zealand.
You're not specifically discussing the issue of them building data centres in New Zealand?
Not specifically, no.
Is that an issue of concern to the government at all in relation to the UNB?
Not one that I've been briefed on, no.
And the Warner Brothers meeting,
yes.
Is that to talk about the money that was put aside around promotion and that, or what's that?
Yeah, look, again, it's really a follow-up from the visit they had out here. When they were here last time, they invited us to get together next time. It made sense when it was appropriate when I was in the US. As we pointed out at the time, we want to try and build a strategic partnership with Warner Brothers if we can. They've got a similar relationship with the United Kingdom where they filmed the Harry Potter movies. So it'll be just a broad-ranging discussion, but it'll be interesting to flesh out opportunities that they might see and get a sense of how things are going.
Last week, the issue of allegiance and the parliamentary oath was highlighted. What's your personal view on that? Do you think that MPs should be able to swear allegiance to the Treaty of Waitangi as well?
My view is no. I can't see the reason why we would change from the current oath.
Can I ask you about the Sky City situation? That was reported on the weekend that I think we had a meeting back in 2009.
Yeah.
Can you recall, without obviously exact dates, when the deal came together and who asked who for the changes in legislation?
Yeah, so as I said here, when we first discussed it a month or so ago, I approached Sky City. So at that dinner, I said to them, look, as Minister of Tourism, one of the things I'm interested in building is an international convention centre. That might be a project you guys want to go away and consider over the course of about 18, because I think it was about 18 months or 2 years ago. Over the course of that period of time, they came back to us with a proposal which got fed into the mix of the five different entities that bid for it.
Okay. Can you update us on where those negotiations are at this stage?
Yes, we've had, I think, a round, either one or two rounds of discussions with them, so we're having some preliminary discussion. We're not in a position to say we've finalised an agreement yet, but we are making progress.
Okay. Are they commercially sensitive?
Yeah, commercially sensitive, Mark.
Do you have any sense of the timeline of when there may be an agreement?
Yeah, I'd like to try and see things concluded in the next month or two.
So, Brian, just to come back, can you categorically say that the SAS will come out of Cardwell for good in March?
That's my expectation.
So that is that they will come out.
That's my expectation.
And just on the mentoring, you were someone before we went over there, found that mentoring was felt that mentoring was too dangerous.
Yeah.
And obviously, the operational mentoring, does it concern you that we seem to be overlapping all the time?
Yeah, no. You ask a key question. So I think in terms of the mentoring that was proposed when the Australians were looking at us to work with the Norilsk, that was us, mentoring and actually training, over the wire, if you like, in a field of battle, some fairly unskilled personnel. And that, I believe, is a highly dangerous environment. In terms of what we've been doing with the crisis response unit, it's a slightly different form. It's the same word, but it's a slightly different form of mentoring. And I think that we're doing the right thing there, because ultimately what we're trying to do is build up the capability so that we can go home and everyone else can go home, and ultimately the Afghans are in a position to manage their own country with their own resources. So it's slightly different than that.
Well, would you have any final reports on what happened at the hotel, about who actually injured the SAS officers, whether it was friendly fire?
No, I haven't seen any further reports on that.
So it still could possibly have been friendly fire then?
Yes, but it's always possible, but at the time I remember the Chief of Defence saying that it was very unlikely, and I've got no reason to believe that position has changed.
What would you like to hear from Geithner and Bernanke in terms of an economic plan for the US? I think could have a perfect scenario.
Well, that's for them, but obviously everyone's concerned about the level of debt they have, about what their outlook is for their economy when their unemployment rate's kicked up to 9.2%. They've just got very high levels of debt. And not a lot of room to move on fiscal policy or monetary policy, no room to move. So, really, it won't be for us to lecture them. We'll be just interested in what their outlook is.
You could tell them how to run a zero budget.
Yeah. I think we'll go more in a listening mode than an advising mode, but anyway.
And from the President, just expect a recommitment to TPP?
Look, I think that's... I think firstly, there's a degree of symbolism about the visit. At the end of the day, I think our relations are in the best shape they've been for sort of 25 years. We've had quite a lot of high-powered visitors down to New Zealand, and it was nice to receive the invitation to go to the White House. So that's good. But the next level is to try and talk about TPP and get a sense of whether he thinks they'll be able to sign some high-level agreement of sort of momentum or kind of heads of understanding at Hawaii. That's, I think, the hope of the eight countries. But whether that's possible, it's something I don't have a good feel for today, but hopefully by the end of the week we'll have a greater sense of that. And just generally, discussion about, as I say, Afghanistan, the economy, wider engagement together.
But will the debate be around, accepting a lower quality agreement that may be every poor, whether that you should go for a higher quality agreement, which will be tougher to reach?
Well, if it gets to that level, I would certainly be reiterating our view, which is New Zealand doesn't want low-quality agreements. They don't take us very far, and I don't think it takes the United States very far. And I think, actually, if you go back to the reason why the President has been supportive of TPP, they are because he believes that the US economy needs to grow its jobs, about 20 million jobs, and they believe that much of that job growth can occur by building their export markets. I think they can also recognise, as we recognise, that Asia is the fast-growing part of the world and likely to be for the next decade or so. So I think there's a lot of reasons why it's actually in the US's interest to be heavily engaged in TPP. And in fact, the President's given two or three press conferences in the last week or so, a couple of weeks, where he's reaffirmed his commitment to FTAs. I know there's three of them, not the lesson being chorused with Korea, held up in the House of Reps at the moment. But, he publicly is at least saying he's keen to see those completed and TPP completed as well.
Prime Minister, could the US Marines come out to New Zealand next year and be involved in some sort of joint exercise with that for our troops?
Yeah, I can't rule that out. But what I'd also say is that hasn't been agreed yet. I mean, that is a possibility, but it's not something I can rule out.
Will that be on the agenda for this visit?
Look, it might be. There's some discussions there, but it's far from concluded.
And you will tell President Obama that our SAS troops are out of Kabul in March?
Well, that's, if he asks you something, that'll be the point we'll be making, that, that round one is our SAS come out, and round two is our premature reconstruction force comes out at the end of 2014.
You going to go and Litterman this time?
No. Different, we're in Washington, not New York. Okay, hey, well done. 3 o'clock. See you later. Nice couple of weeks.